This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. Good morning on the 29th of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Coming up today, C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson have the news. Stories including mounting frustration over a lack of a farm bill and helping students learn about ag bioscience opportunities. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here calling for more sunshine and heat, but thunderstorm possibilities too. And the Friday corn and bean markets moved sharply lower. Analysis with Brian Basting coming up on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob,
and we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana, talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
A Hoosier ag leader among many calling on Congress to pass a new farm bill and connecting Indiana students with careers in ag biosciences. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, many ag leaders are expressing their frustration with lawmakers over the lack of any further action regarding a new farm bill. Sabrina Halverson reports how one Hoosier ag leader is among those leading the charge.
About 500 agricultural groups recently sent a letter to the leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. One of those groups was the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture.
Well, the impact of further delay was at least a big part of the letter.
NASDA Chief Executive Officer Ted McKinney says the time to pass the farm bill is now.
I think the legislators know, members of Congress know, but many out in the world of even ag don't understand that punting this, kicking this down the road has consequences. I'd say for our farmers and ranchers who are at the core of this, it leaves great uncertainty. You don't know how to plan with your programs.
He explains that even aspects of USDA come to a halt when funding stops.
Many people don't know that the agencies of the government, in this case USDA, cannot plan. They are disallowed legally from planning any point beyond the point where they have funding. Well, we have funding up through including September, I believe. But after that, they're not allowed to plan. Well, what kind of a business is that when you are disallowed from planning for the future?
He says he remains hopeful that it can get done before the end of the year.
Well, hope springs eternal, and we would not have signed the letter if we didn't believe that might be possible. So we hang on that. We still hang on that thread that says it can get done.
I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Well, there are countless career opportunities that exist in the ag bioscience industry, but many college students may not even know they exist. And that's why Agrinovis Indiana is helping students to make those connections through their Field Atlas program.
I feel like that's been the most shocking thing about this. It's like you don't really have to know a lot about agriculture to be involved in it and make a difference.
And that's China Thompson, who is studying nutrition, fitness, and wellness at Marion University in Indianapolis. She's also part of the Agrinovis Indiana Field Atlas program to learn more about the ag bioscience industry through tours of ag-based businesses, on-farm visits, and meetings with Indiana's ag bioscience leaders.
I got into it because I want to make a difference. I want to help people eat healthier. But sitting down and thinking since these tours, before we can even get to people eating healthier, we have to look at the soil, our animals. We have to make sure that's in order for us to even eat right. Like, it's like we're at the very end. So it's really opened my eyes to really see that we need to be better before we can be better.
China was part of a couple of tours earlier this summer with other college students from across the state. She says now that she's gone through the Field Atlas program, it's helped her realize that she can use her passions for health and wellness to make an impact in the ag biosciences.
I didn't grow up knowing anything about agriculture, and I would have never thought in a million years I would be thinking about a career in agriculture, but it makes sense. So I'm excited for the future and excited to see where God places me. I just want to make a difference.
Learn more about the Field Atlas program through AgriNovus Indiana at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As expected, we saw humidity values really ramp up yesterday. The difference was yesterday we didn't see a lot of sunshine over a large chunk of the Hoosier State. Here today, I think we see better sunshine potential morning and midday. Tomorrow, same basic story. So with the humidity, we're going to see more heat. I do believe that gives us a better chances of thunderstorms. So keep an eye out for afternoon and evening thunderstorms today. Same basic story tomorrow afternoon and evening. And then we get into Wednesday, maybe not seeing as much coverage, but we can still see some activity pop up, particularly overnight Wednesday night into early Thursday. So this week, definitely unsettled. Right now, I think we have to keep the heat and humidity in through at least Thursday. And at this point, I'm going to add precipitation. So pop up thunderstorms to Thursday night and into early Friday morning. I'm not sure the heat breaks at all until we get into the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, it does look like temperatures ease back a little bit. Combined for the week, today through Friday, you have to pencil in at least a half to 1.5 inches combined. I think all of us get at least 3 separate rounds of moisture here this week. So after being dry for the last little bit, we are going to settle in with better moisture potential. Just a hot, humid kind of setup as we move into early August. We turn that moisture off then next week. I think Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday can be fully dry. So we're front loading all of our moisture here in the forecast nearby, drying down at four next week. That's the first full week of August. We're also seeing a heat still hold. Temperatures well above normal, 90s and 100s coming out of the plains and into Missouri, parts of southern Iowa, so very, very warm. That's going to be pushing our way as well. We probably don't get to the triple digits, but I think we're looking at multiple days in the 90s here between August 1st and August 15th. That's what is coming our direction. Moisture back in the Great Plains. Yes, we're seeing a little bit of it closer to the 7th and 8th, midweek next week, but can it hold together and make it all the way in here late next week? We will see. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to INAG.com.
HoosierAgNutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Sharp losses in corn, soybeans, and wheat goes a little lower too. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. And it was a sell-off from the word go as weather changes came into play. I'll have the settlements coming up. First, market analysis from Brian Basting, Advanced Trading. We spoke near the end of trade. Brian, as we head to the weekend, oh, what a little bit of rain in the forecast can do. There have been some changes in forecast, more moisture now, at least in parts of the Corn Belt. And the grains and oil seeds respond, a pretty sharp sell-off going into the weekend.
Yeah, it is, Andy. Thanks for having me, as always. We're looking at a moist forecast for the week of July 29th, last couple of days of July, of course, into that first few days of August, primarily in the eastern Corn Belt. If we look at the maps here, we're looking at areas such as Illinois, Indiana, your backyard there, of course, Ohio, Michigan. All those areas, Andy, are look like they have a decent shot to get anywhere from a half inch to up to an inch and a half between now and Friday the 2nd. So every forecast is variable, of course, and things can change. But for the moment, it looks like it's a moist forecast there. I would add, though, in contrast, out west in Kansas, Nebraska, it's going to be hot and dry for the most part. But again, percentage-wise, nearly half the corn, for example, over the next 2 weeks, according to the latest model, nearly half the corn is going to be normal to above, slightly above normal moisture. And beans, it's up to 62%, Andy. The next 2 weeks are going to be normal to slightly above normal. So forecasts can change, but the market's taking that to heart today anyway.
Yeah, and we've seen the forecast change and the market taking it to heart throughout the course of this week. Little variations here and there have sent the markets higher and, in the case of Friday, lower. So it doesn't seem to take too much.
Yeah, you summarized that well. It doesn't take too much. This time of year when we're approaching that pod fill stage for beans and the critical end of pollination, I would say we're in the last 25% of pollination, but that first 10 days to 2 weeks right after pollination is critical, Andy, for the corn crop as it begins the grain fill stage. And obviously the weather this week, temperature-wise, has been very mild, which is good. A few areas caught some rain this week, but obviously a lot drier than it had been earlier this month. So, yeah, anything you can and tweak that a little bit. And as we look ahead to that last few days of July, that would still help the corn quite a bit in terms of that post-pollination period, and then it would be ideal for the early pod fill. Underline early. Pod fill is going to take place throughout the whole month of August. So I'd say that the market today is saying that the weather is taking a turn for a little bit more moisture coming in here, and as a result, ahead of the weekend, we're seeing some profit taking from this little mini bounce we've seen.
So the crop overall, when you look at ratings here in recent weeks, looks pretty promising. Not a lot of change on Monday in the new report. And that's the other part of this weather issue, is all about what that crop could be. It still looks like it could be good.
Yeah, I think you summarized that well again, Andy. And I strongly encourage your listeners to continue to defend their balance sheet as we go forward, because there are some private estimates, again, estimates here. We're at the end of July. We got a long way before those combines are all, but private estimates of yields above USDA's penciled in yields for this 2024 crop. And as you said, the crop condition ratings are exceptional for the last week of July here for this time of year. And it's an environment we may have seen these type of yields before. And price impact, who knows? Price is unpredictable. But again, strongly encourage your listeners to manage price movement. This could be a volatile next 60 to 90 days. A lot of uncertainty out there, not only here in the U.S., but also around the world. For example, it's hot and dry in Ukraine. So there are variables out there that we've yet to see how that could impact the market. But back to your original point, the crops here in the U.S. overall look very good. And after what we saw last year in terms of the yield performance, particularly in your backyard there in Indiana, Ohio, just outstanding yields for the conditions we had. There's some people saying that the genetics that producers are utilizing really could set us to a new plateau in 2024. That's just one possibility. I want to underscore that, not a prediction, but something to keep in mind in terms of managing price and defending your balance sheet.
And on the demand side, we've gotten a couple of reports this week. Export inspections on Monday, export sales report on Thursday. What are the prospects as we move into another week as far as the demand for corn and beans?
We have seen some end users put their toe in the water, as it were, Andy, with some purchase. Not exceptional amounts, but significant amounts. Not universal either. A couple to unknown. China came in here. and bought some soybeans, for example, for new crop. They're way behind on their usual new crop soybean purchases, however, for this time of year. Something to keep an eye on moving forward. Will end users continue to tap into these low prices, as it were, and get some books, sales on the books? Or will they wait now if the weather is going to turn more favorable yet as we enter August and wait to see if we will see lower prices? So, yes, demand is going to be important here. For the most part, new crop demand has been a little bit tepid, I would say, particularly for soybeans at this point. China, for example, is way down, as I mentioned a moment ago, from what they usually buy and have on the books, I should say, at this time of year for new crop. Does that mean they're going to have to come back in and buy a lot? Or does it mean that maybe due to crush margins or available supplies in their inventories, they don't need to buy as much? It's an unknown, but it is something that we can track, as you said, via daily sales announcements and via the daily shipment or weekly shipments, beg your pardon, on Monday, and then that weekly sales report that comes out on Thursday. But this week, the sales report was a little bit disappointing for old crop, albeit we only have 30 days left in old crop. But we did see a decent new crop uptick in business. New crop corn business is about where it was this time last year. Beans, though, is down because of China.
Market analysis from Brian Basting. He's an economist with Advanced Trading, and his number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The Friday settlement, September corn, 394.5, dipping 11.5 cents, and December goes to 410, down a dime and three quarters. Leading the way lower, the soybean market, sharp losses there. August, 1077.5, 38.5 down. September, 1042 down 32.5. November, 31 cents lower at 1048.5. And September wheat, 523.5 down 14.25. The meats were quiet and mixed. October live cattle, 188.55, a nickel loss. And October lean hog, 78.20, up 40 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.